Rural Focus.
Hello there to you. It is Troy Stockton aboard. Here we go with another Rural Focus podcast. If it's happening across agriculture, aquaculture or horticultural circles, we do our best to bring it to you. Plenty of forums happening right across regional WA at the moment, whether it's to do with grains. I know the grain industry of WA held one today, and I know the WA farmers have got one over the next few days, and GRDC are holding ones around regional WA over the next couple of weeks. So, yeah, hopefully you can get on out to these forums and find out more on what is happening agriculture-wise around regional WA. Hey, coming up on today's podcast, very soon we're going to catch up with Alan Walker. Alan's the General Manager of the Kwinana North Zone with CBH. Of course, they've put a call out to growers to submit their estimates to the team there at CBH. We'll catch up with Alan very soon, find out and see how things are going. We'll catch up with Chris Wallingham from Nutrient Livestock. How's the markets all going around the southwest? We'll find out more from he very soon. We'll catch up with the opposition leader here in WA, the one and only Mia Davies. She will join us on the podcast very soon. Plenty of things going on in politics, but right now we're only weeks away from the 2022 GWN7 Darren Machinery Field Days. Time right now to say hello to the general manager there in Danielle Green. Danielle, hello there to you.
Hi, Troy. How are you?
Not bad. How are things going?
Yeah, look, 9 weeks to go.
It's not long.
No, not long at all. But exciting. It's all tracking really well. I'm really pleased to say that the site will be at full capacity this year. We've had an overwhelming response from our exhibitors to participate. The overall numbers haven't risen exponentially, but we are seeing numerous long-term past exhibitors wanting bigger and better areas, and they're going to be investing a lot into their sites. It's going to be quite exciting for our visitors. They should get here and see some really grand displays.
Absolutely. Yeah, always nice to be bigger and better, pretty much.
Yeah. We've got, for example, AgWest Machinery. They're looking at bringing the latest and largest vent harvester across. Yep. It'll be the largest one in Australia to put on show. So, yeah, exciting things like that. So from a machinery perspective, obviously, some great things that will be on display. And then people like Nutrient Ag Solutions, normally they're on the football oval. They're taking out a four-site allocation on the machinery section, and they're going big. So they want to show their entire supply operations. And, so really exciting that, you know, our exhibitors are really embracing this year's event. They're really excited after COVID and, you know, supply issues in the past. They've got lots of things to talk about and show our visitors. So it should be great all round.
So how many exhibitors would you have there over the 2 days?
Yeah, so we're still sort of finalising final number, but it'll be just over 600.
Wow.
So, yeah, so not bigger in terms of numbers, just bigger in terms of scale.
So with it being around 9 weeks away, what have we got? Tickets are on sale right now, is that right?
Yeah, we launched just a couple of weeks ago and the campaigns will start to roll out, but everything is available online.
Okay.
So head to our website, that's darrenfielddays.com.au, book your ticket. It's a really easy process. We are encouraging all of our visitors to get online prior and get their ticket. It'll make it a much easier experience on the day. They'll just arrive at the gate, scan in, and then they're on site and ready to explore.
All right. So it's the 24th and 25th of August, and I'm guessing that the website at this stage, one of the best places to go to find out more.
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So go to the website, darrenfielddays.com.au. As Danielle did mention, 9 weeks to go and counting.
I know. Hey? I know. Yeah, great. No, we're looking forward to it, and we look forward to welcoming everyone on the 24th and the 25th of August.
If people are wanting to know more, can they give you a call today there, Danielle, or just go to the website is the best option?
Yeah, they can go to the website or they can call the office number.
Okay.
Our team are pretty busy, so sometimes email and website is the best to put in a contact detail. Through the booking process too, there is an opportunity to send any questions or queries through to the team. So there's numerous ways that they can contact us if they've got any questions.
Okay. Anything else before I let you go this morning?
No, all good. Can't wait.
Danielle, thanks for your time today.
Great. Thanks, Troy. Thank you.
Yeah, don't miss it. The GWN 7 Darren Machinery Field Days, as Danielle mentioned, just 9 weeks to go. Are you going? Why wouldn't you be? 24th and 25th of August. To know more, head to the website darrenfielddays.com.au.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Hey, Tom, I want to catch up with Alan Walker. Alan is the General Manager of the Kwinana North Zone with the team at CBH. Al, good morning, mate.
Good morning, Troy. How you going, mate?
Not bad. Seeding, of course, as we know, pretty much drawing to a close across WA. But you're putting the call out to growers to submit their estimates to you and the team there at CBH.
Yeah, mate, it's that time of year year again where growers have finished their seeding programs, and we're just putting the call out to all the growers across the states that put their, get into load net and put their estimate in for the year through paddock planner. Very important information for CBH to make sure we get what varieties the growers are growing and how many hectares they put in of each variety, so we can plan the crop for those growers and get the right segregations in each of their local storages.
Have you had some farmers submit their estimates into you yet, mate?
Yeah, we've got a small percentage in so far. Hopefully the guys out there that are listening to this and haven't put it in, that's just a reminder for them to jump on. I think it only takes about 30 minutes, but that 30 minutes of their time, that information for us is so important to get everything right for their harvest planning.
Pretty early in the season at the moment, but I'm sure all the team there at CBH are looking for another significant crop coming through.
Yeah, mate, the rainfall we've had so far across most of the state, I know there are some places that have missed out, but generally we've had real good rainfall, so we are preparing for another significant crop, and that's just why it's so important for us to get those estimates in through paddock planner.
Okay, so for the farmers to get their estimates in, what can you offer the farmers here, mate?
Yeah, so this year across all five zones, we're offering a $1,000 Crown accommodation voucher and a $500 donation to a charity or a local club that the grower chooses. So pretty good incentive to get that $1,000 Crown voucher. So I say it only takes 30 minutes, so well worth your while.
So this is what, your fifth year using paddock planner?
Yeah, we'll be going into our fifth year, mate. Yep. So with the percentages of paddock planner going up every year, so it's great that the growers are using paddock planner. Not only does it help us plan for the crop coming up, but it also uses that information for long-term network decisions as well. So we get two good benefits out of the growers using paddock planner.
All right, so go and put your estimates in. They've got until the end of next month to do so there, Al?
By the 31st of July, if you have to estimate in, that's when you can go into the draw to win the Crown voucher.
Okay.
So any time between now and the 31st of July would be beneficial for us, so we can start planning earlier and, if we have to make decisions on potential moves out of sites and if we have to build any more emergency storage, et cetera. It just gives us that information, mate, so very important.
Do you think you might have to build some emergency storage somewhere around WA, mate, again?
Yeah, we're already going through the process. Okay. Given the start that we've had, we have started the process. We did the same last year. We built a lot of emergency storage, so we are in that process at the moment. And, just the estimates will help us firm up those decisions that we're making.
All right, so what, they go into load net and then they go into paddock planner? Is that how it works?
That's correct, mate, yeah. Every grower has a load net account, and then they go into paddock planner and submit their estimates.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are growers out there that are unsure or haven't used paddock planner before, they're welcome to give any of their local district officers a call, and we're more than happy to help them through the process.
All right, so go on, growers. If you haven't done it yet, as Al said, a few of you have, but if you haven't submitted your estimates into the team at CBH, maybe today is the day. How are the paddocks looking around regional WA, mate?
Yeah, no, I've been out for a drive over the last few days, and most things are out of the ground. Canola's looking really good. So, if we continue to get some follow-up rains through the rest of the season, we'll be in for another bumper crop like last year, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope so. Alan Walker, General Manager with the Kwinana North Zone with CBH. Mate, thanks for your time today.
No worries, appreciate that, Troy.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Time right now to catch up with Chris Waddingham from Nutrient with the Southwest Report. Morning, mate.
Good morning, mate. How are you this morning?
Not bad. Still a bit of rain in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, we got wet at wine up yesterday, that's for sure. She was drizzled most of the day down here. Yeah, nice and steady, which was good.
How did you go there yesterday, mate?
Oh, well, 122 cattle in total in the yarding. Nutrient yarded 64. She was pretty well cows.
Mm.
And there was an odd pen of lightweight yearlings, sort of late calves, and a few mature heifers. But, not a lot to choose from, mind you. As I think we've reported over the last month or so, the markets are, just a bit static anyway.
Yeah,
probably sort of appropriate at the time. quality of the yarding was really mixed, and values reflected the mixed quality with prices fluctuating, you know, from sort of very good prices. You'll hear in the ranges from very good prices through to some ordinary, and that was very much, you know, quality driven. So we had 400 to 540 kilo beef heifers, 300 to 400 cents. They were down 5 to 10. We had some steers. One pen of steers under 280 kilos made 650 cents. Their sisters under 280 kilos made 600 cents. Beef cows, score 3 and 4s, 290 to 316. They were back 5 to 10 cents. And score 5s, 280 to 300 cents. They were back 5 to 8. A few light and plain cows, a couple of quite ordinary cows in the market today. Yesterday, rather. When I say ordinary, by condition,
yep.
They were 150. Through to 282 cents. So yeah, well, sort of a bit of variety there, and that's what you get, I guess, this time of the year a bit.
Is it mainly due to the conditions, mate?
It is very typical. Yeah. I think we always get a bit of a shock that we get back to so few cattle, but it is very much the pattern. You know, I've been here for 30 years. I started in 94 in the area, so it's very typical of this time of the year. And then, you know, the majority of the fat cattle, prime cattle, are coming off the feed, and they tend to have arrangements, obviously, with MSA and all those sort of things to go straight to abattoirs. So, yeah, it's just a typical pattern, this time of the year.
Hey, question without notice. See, this morning, New Zealand, they're planning to tax the burps of cows and sheep.
Really? Yeah, that's a bit interesting, isn't it?
Is it? How would you tax that, though?
I'm not sure, mate. It depends on the diet, I suppose, very well sometimes, and maybe not so on others, I'm not sure.
You reckon they'd bring it in here in Australia, mate?
Oh, mate, that's above my pay scale. I'm just a low-life little agent, mate, down in the southwest Matlin Way. I've got no idea.
Just thought I'd ask, mate. Just thought I'd ask. I know you're around them pretty much most of your days, but just thought I'd put that out there anyway.
No, nothing surprises you these days, does it? It's, it's an interesting world we live in, I think.
So what else is happening in your neck of the woods, mate?
Well, not much this week.
Okay.
We'll 1st of July is our store sale, so that's next Friday. So just getting some numbers together, we'd expect we'll have a yarding over 1,100 store cattle there, I would think. Yeah, that's about it for the week, I think.
All right. Anything else from you this morning, mate?
I hope you've told the listeners about the fact that you've done another lap around the sun, mate.
Yeah, I did have a birthday during the week, thanks, mate.
You let them all know, mate. Good,
well, I didn't, but a few other people did, so I try and keep it on the low, mate, you know.
Oh, that's good. Good. Mate,
thank you for your birthday wishes during the week, mate.
No worries, mate. It's all good. Just a little shout-out to me, little mate, Nardis. Caught up with him on Friday night, so, it's good to hear that we've got a few listeners anyway, Troy.
Well, that's me, you and him, so three, that's all we need, mate. So, you
know, That's a start.
We're working our way up. nice that they're listening down your way, mate. Fantastic.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, well, have a good week, mate. We'll catch you again next Wednesday.
Good on you. Will do. See you now.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you, and other goods and services may be available.
Time right now to catch up with the Leader of the Opposition here in WA, the Leader of the Nationals here in WA, and the Member for the Central Wheat Belt, lady who really doesn't need an introduction, Mia Davies. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you
feeling? You okay now?
Yeah, no, I'm getting there. I think anyone that's had COVID knows that you get this spicy little cough that hangs around for a bit, but I'm on the improve. Thank you very
Fantastic.
Much. Yeah, back out and about.
That's good to hear. Now, are you any closer to maybe choosing a candidate for the upcoming by-election in the seat of the Northwest Central?
Yes, obviously there's a time imperative, and we are working hard to make sure we've got that local champion selected. We've got some great options. I'm very confident in the very near future we'll have someone up there to take up the reins where Vince Catania will step away after 17 years as the local representative. It's a big innings in politics.
Absolutely.
And it's a big electorate.
Yep.
And they do need someone that can bring those very important issues to the parliament. So we're doing our very best to make sure we've got a strong local champion.
All right. Good luck with going forward with that one. Live export to know that the brand new national leader, David Littleproud, formerly the federal agriculture minister, was in town. Your thoughts on what's happening here?
Yeah, well, first of all, great to see David, his deputy, Perrin Davey, and the Shadow Cabinet over in Western Australia so soon after the federal election. Mm. It was great to have them in WA, and David made a point of sitting down with our state MPs and also key stakeholders in the live export sector to talk about the really concerning comments and policies from the new federal Labor government, and also the only way you can describe what the Premier over in Western Australia is doing is having a bet each way. So we know that the Minister for Agriculture is staunchly against live export. The Premier's got a position that's about as clear as mud, and the federal Labor government has said that should they be returned in 2025 to government, they will phase out live sheep exports. That's pretty concerning from a West Australian perspective, and David was very keen to engage and make sure that the industry over here knows that they will have a strong champion both in the federal parliament and our team over here in Western Australia. It's a sector that contributes a significant amount to the state's economy, supports our regional communities, and we also play a key role in animal welfare.
Yep.
Or improving standards in animal welfare by being in that international market, notwithstanding the fact that we are actually providing food security to some of our very important trade partners.
Now, in Parliament, I think it might have been yesterday, you moved a motion supporting the Labor government to immediately freeze all government fees and charges to provide much-needed support to West Aussies.
That's right. We've got 1 week. This is our final week before we break for the winter recess. And, you know, we had the state budget handed down 6 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, a massive budget surplus, $5.7 billion at the time. We called on the government to consider freezing fees and charges. We could see that cost of living pressures were impacting West Australians even back then. Since then, we've seen the interest rates go up. We've seen people's rentals go up. We've seen mortgages go up. And we've seen more and more people struggling to make ends meet. And it's not just a political line. Mm. If you talk to organisations like Food Bank, Anglicare, OzHarvest, all of those welfare organisations that really step in when people can't make the decision as to whether or not they can put food on the table or pay their electricity bill. Food Bank, for instance, has gone from having 200 families through their doors on a day to 500. How is that possible in a state that is as wealthy as Western Australia? The state government has the opportunity to freeze those fees and charges. And when we say that, we mean don't put your water bills up, don't put your power bills up, don't increase your driver's license fees or the motor, your car registration fees or your emergency services levy. It would cost about $156 million to the budget in the context of $5.7 billion. I think this government could afford it. They just simply refused to do it and, in fact, ignored the motion we moved yesterday. And every minister stood up and said how wonderfully our state is going and how we were the best state to live in, and everybody from the East Coast and overseas should be moving here. I just don't think people buy it when they can't put food on their table. It's just not good enough.
Absolutely. If you don't have the money, you really can't do a lot, really, can you?
No, it's just it's an appallingly arrogant position to have such an enormous budget surplus and be deaf to those families that are really struggling. And we're seeing more and more people go into homelessness, and that is not something that we should be dealing with in a state as wealthy as Western Australia. I just find it unconscionable.
We are chatting with the Leader of the Opposition here in WA, the Leader of the Nationals, and also the Member for Central Wheatbelt in Mia Davies. I think last time we chatted, Mia, there was troubles with midwifery, especially through the northern states within hospitals and all that. What's the latest on that?
Yes, well, there's a midwifery shortage right across the state. Of course, there's a health worker shortage across the state, but one of the areas that we've focused on particularly is this shortage of midwives. And there is, in particular, in the north of the state, and we've got families that are having to travel 1,000 kilometres round trip away from their families to deliver their babies safely. It's an enormous expense. It's a very stressful time. And this government really hasn't done anything. And before the pandemic hit, before we had the impact of COVID, we had written to the Minister for Health, at the time it was Roger Cook, and our Shadow Minister for Regional Health, Martin Aldridge, had been promoting the Geraldton University Centre's model of developing, growing our own midwives in the Midwest, in Geraldton, to service those areas. They had a great solution, and at the time the government ignored it, and now we are scrabbling to try and find midwives to try and fill all of those positions. They had the opportunity before any of this challenge hit. We are now in a market where everyone's trying to find health workers, and again, this government just had the wrong priorities. They were ignoring something that's pretty basic. Healthcare in Western Australia is bread and butter for state governments, and they've just ignored it. And we're now in a very difficult situation when you talk to the mums that are forced to do this, as I have done, a young mum in Carnarvon.
Yeah.
You know, she had to be away from her kids, her partner, their support network. She had to stay in a hotel for the period after the birth and then had to travel back to the home. I mean, that's just unacceptable. Again, a wealthy state, and we can't seem to find solutions for really basic issues in our regional communities.
Just sort of sounds like WA is just going backwards.
Well, it doesn't add up from my perspective that we have such wealth, that we have a Premier that constantly points to the good state of our budget. In fact, crows over other states in terms of our healthy GST, talks about other... I just find it very unpalatable that he's so focused on what's happening on the East Coast when you've got families and key issues like ambulance ramping, people unable to afford their bills, and all of these things that they're in their control that seem to get ignored. And when you're in regional Western Australia, that's compounded because there are difficulties, particularly when you're reliant on... We don't have public transport, so those impacts of increasing fuel prices, particularly when we have the accommodation shortage that many of our communities are facing, which is impacting our small business sector, our agricultural sector. These are things governments need to do as a priority, and yet we see their focus elsewhere. Very, very frustrating sitting on the opposition bench with a government that is completely tone deaf to these issues.
Looks like a bit more interesting times in Parliament coming up. Just quickly before I do let you go, a sporting club across the central Wheatbelt has a major milestone this weekend.
I just want to give a shout out to the Cunderdon Golf Club and a big happy 100th birthday. They're celebrating their centenary this weekend. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to join them. They had invited me to be there, and I have other commitments that will prevent me from doing that. But I couldn't miss the chance to say a happy 100th birthday. That is a big milestone
Absolutely.
For a community club, and I think it's something worth celebrating. So I wish them all the very best, and I hope they've got loads of life members and past players that are coming to help them celebrate on the day.
Yeah, good luck this Saturday there to the Cunderdon Golf Club. Hey, Mia, thanks for your time today. Look after yourself, and we'll look forward to chatting to you again very soon.
Thanks very much, Troy.
Yeah, always nice to catch up with the WA opposition leader, the one and only Mia Davies. Not only is she the WA opposition leader, but also, of course, the Nationals leader here in WA and a member for the Central Wheatbelt. Well, that is it for today's Rural Focus podcast. Hey, thank you for your company today. I look forward to bringing you another one very soon right here on the Listener app, LISTNR. And don't forget too, if you maybe missed something over the past few days, you can go back and catch it up right here. I've been Troy Stockton, and I look forward to bringing you another Rural Focus podcast again very soon.